Today on Real Radio.
We've already received the truth of God, if we're believers, that Jesus is the only Savior of mankind, and that He causes us to love the world with the love of God because Jesus died for them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. As we've been learning, John the Apostle had particular insight into divine love. We see this concept in his writings, including the gospel that he wrote, and interestingly enough, history has dubbed John as the Apostle of Love. In the section we're looking at today, chapter 4, John addresses divine love. In fact, he uses the term perfect love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4. It's called, What's Love Got to Do With It?
And you know, the whole universe out there is made out of the same junk you and I are made out of. We are but dust. And this is the glory that God is going to do. He's going to get us into His presence, and He's going to, I'm making this part up right now. He's going to unwrap our head, you know, take off the bandage, and we're going to open our eyes, and there He is. There who is? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How can we see the Spirit? I don't know. We got to wait till we get there. But we're going to see Him. Matthew 5:8 tells us we shall see God. Are we going to handle it? We're going to handle it. That's the amazing thing, too. We're going to be able to handle it. We're going to see Him, and we're going to go, wow! It's going to be absolutely incredible. We will see God. When somebody asks you, well, you know, you'll never see the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we shall see God. No angel has seen Him. No human has seen Him. Moses wanted to see Him. God, just let me see You. And I love that story. God says, well, look, it'll kill you if you see Me. You'll fry. You'll melt. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pass by. You hide in the crack of that rock. I'll pass by, and I'll shelter, I'll cover your face. And after I've gone, this is so cool, after I've gone, the atmosphere that is around you where I've passed through, you'll see My Shekinah. You'll see my residual glow, My glory, that lingers after I've been somewhere. Oh, man. So Moses is there. Can you imagine? Okay. All right, here we go. And then, you know, just. All right, Mo, look. And he looks, and he doesn't record what he saw. It's probably too awesome. But he comes down the hill with a bag on his head. He comes down like the unknown prophet. He's got a bag on his head, and the people are going, what are you doing? He sheltered his face because as he left the presence of God, the residual afterglow came on him, and he was glowing. And when he came down, he veiled his head because he didn't want the people to see the glory depart from him. So they saw him go up the mountain without glory, and they weren't going to look at him until the glory was gone, because Moses thought it might be kind of a bummer to be all lit up and then to be back to how he was. In the presence of God, there's this glory. It's got to be awesome. So awesome that angels, how old are angels? You don't know. Nobody knows. How strong are they? We don't know. How do they transport themselves around? We don't know. We just know there's angels, and they love to worship. They love to do whatever God says to do. They love it. Those incredible favored beings have got to shield themselves in His presence. And then there's going to come a day when He's going to say, okay, all you angels, just scoot over for a minute, okay? Here comes these little earthling dudes that I love so much. Isn't it awesome that Jesus came to earth as a human and not an angel? Isn't it awesome that Jesus died for humans and not for angels? Isn't it awesome that both angels and man can sin, but we're redeemable and they're not? God loves you, if you haven't caught on. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. In Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So number one is that His love allows us to see God's invisible nature. It's incredible. Number two, love confirms to us that He lives in us. Listen, God's love confirms to us that He lives in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because, I have that marked in my Bible, the because, or for this reason, He has given us His Spirit or the Holy Spirit. By this we know, we've experienced the fact that we abide in Him. Listen, have you? And He in us because He has given us His Spirit. We can be sure that we belong to God because we possess the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The Lord has put His mark, or you could say His seal, upon us as a guarantee that we're His property. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You can be sure of that. When He says, we abide in Him, John doesn't say, I think we abide in Him. I hope someday maybe it'll all click with us. No, he states it as a fact. We abide in Him and He in us. Every true Christian knows this, that there's an internal witness that the Holy Spirit says to you, you're my child. It's awesome. You may goof up, you may fail, you may falter, but down deep inside there is this abiding witness that the Holy Spirit has been deposited in us. His love confirms to us that He lives in us. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ, the church. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's capital S. That's Holy Spirit. I don't know how we're going to show this to you, but I've got to show it to you somehow. I got a card from the prisoners out there at the Ironwood or whatever, the prison out there in the middle of nowhere. Chuckawalla, out in the middle of nowhere. And that outreach that you guys were involved in a couple weeks ago, they wrote me the handmade card from these inmates, and it's beautiful stuff. And we're gonna type it out and put it up sometime on the screen so you can read what these men wrote. And they are just saying, come back. And it's just awesome. Now listen, how does that happen? God gets inside of a life and changes a life. You can be bound in a prison and be as free as a dove by the Spirit of God dwelling in you. How is that? Because the Holy Spirit has baptized us into one body. That is the body of Jesus Christ. Liberating. The word given here, because He has given us the Holy Spirit. The word means to make a deposit or to make a pledge or to make an installation, to install the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36. I love this Old Testament verse that promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 26. There Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will make or put my spirit within you. That is an awesome thing, that the Holy Spirit of God would dwell within a human being. Number three, what's love got to do with it? His love convinces us that Jesus is the Savior. His love convinces us that Jesus is the Savior. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son as Savior of the world. We've already received the truth of God, if we're believers, that Jesus is the only Savior of mankind, and that He causes us to love the world with the love of God because Jesus died for them. So when the Scripture says we've seen and testified, these are legal terms. We have stood before the world, and we make testimony because we've seen. We give declaration, we give evidence for this fact, that God sent His Son to be Savior of the world. Now, because that's true, you and I love the world. I don't mean we love the world. We don't love the things that are in the world. We love the world that's out there. They're lost. I'm talking about the people in it. They're lost. We love them. and we want to reach them for Jesus. We want so-called Christians saved. We want religious people saved. We want Muslims saved. We want Buddhists saved. Blacks, whites, yellow. What's the other colors? Green, red. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All of us. He loves us. Jesus is the Savior of the world. When you're convinced of that, you can't sit on that news. You got to tell them. You got to tell the world. Even if they listen or not. Do you know that? Never did say that they would listen to us. Jeremiah was ordained and sent by God. God, in fact, ordained Jeremiah when he was in his mother's womb. Jeremiah came out. God spoke to him later on, even though he was a young teenage boy. He says, hey, I've separated you from your mother's womb. I've ordained you. I've called you as a prophet from your before you were born. And oh, Jeremiah, I'm going to give you this message. This is the message. And he says, you better say it and don't look to the right or to the left. And when they get in your face, don't you turn into a wimp on me. You just say it. You be strong and of good courage. And oh, Jeremiah, preach your heart out, but no one's going to listen to a word you say. How'd you like to have that church calling to your life? Go and start a church in Hollywood. No one's going to listen to a word you say. They're going to spit on you. They're going to throw you in jail. They're going to throw you down in the dungeon. Could God be in that kind of a ministry? Well, yeah, more often than not, I'm afraid. His love convinces us that Jesus is the Savior. John 21:24 says, this is the disciple, John speaking of himself, who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. John speaking of himself and his testimony that he bears witness about Jesus Christ. You've heard this verse many times here. 1 John 5:13. One of our most favorite verses, 1 John 5:13, these things, that's evidence, by the way, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. If you do not know tonight that you have eternal life, then you are an unbelief, or you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ. You have not yet received Him. Look what the Bible says. These things have been written that you might know. That's testimony. That's evidence. That's number three. Number four, love unites us together with the Trinity of God. Listen, what's love got to do with it? His love unites us together with the Trinity of God. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. The Christian, literally, a Christian is one who is living a constant life that includes God in it at all times. Good or bad, doesn't matter, but the Christian is aware of the fact that God is in his life at all times. A Christian knows and believes that Jesus is God's unique Son and that they, that is you and I as believers with God, are in agreement. Now listen, how is that true? We know that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The word Spirit in your Bible in the preceding verse is a personal declaration, or like a personal pronoun. The Spirit is a living, breathing entity. He is a real person. You say, well, I don't know. That's not what I heard in the watchtower. Well, you need to get out of the watchtower and breathe some fresh air. Here's the deal. How do you, if the Holy Spirit is an it, how do you make an it upset? Can you make an it upset? You can't upset an it. And they'll tell you, well, the Holy Spirit's a power. How can you upset a power? The Bible says that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness disobeying God, and the Spirit of God turned on them and became their enemy. How do you make angry the Holy Spirit? It says there that they made angry the Holy Spirit, and He turned on them and became their enemy. How do you make angry an it? Then in the book of Acts, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says that they lied against God. And then Peter says, how is it that you conceived in your heart? You didn't lie unto men, but you've lied unto the Holy Spirit. How can you lie to a wall or to a power? You can't lie to an atomic bomb. That's a power. You can only lie to a person. You can only upset a person. And then the book of Thessalonians tells us, be careful that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, I cannot be with you at all times. He says, I have to go away. He says, if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go away, he will come to you. I will not leave you orphaned. Jesus says, listen, I will come to you. How does Jesus come to us and the Holy Spirit at the same time? Because they're linked together. There's the Trinity. When the Bible says God, you can safely understand this. When the Bible says God, for example, for God so loved the world, or for God sent his Son, in nearly every text of the Scripture, it is clearly understood that God is referring to the Father. That's safe. When you read it saying God, it's referring to the Father. Well, does that mean Jesus is not God? No, the Bible says Jesus is God. Titus 2:13 says that Jesus is God, among many other verses. But we also know the Holy Spirit is God. God's love unites us together with the Trinity. We become one with the Lord. But who is the Lord? The Holy Spirit is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The Father is Lord. The Bible tells us, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God, exactly as the Bible teaches, but manifested throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, in three distinct personalities. And I love verse 15 here when it says, whoever confesses. You ought to mark that. You ought to circle whoever. Some of your Bibles might say whosoever. That's a great word too, whosoever. That means anybody. It's open. Whoever. Whoever what? Whoever homologeo. Whoever says the same. Whoever says the same, that Jesus is the Son of God. That can only be done because God abides in him and he in God. To say the same means to agree wholeheartedly with Jesus. It doesn't mean just simply spout the words. It means to agree theologically with Jesus. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, Jesus is Lord, and you know that person's not saved? You know that person doesn't even know God. And they say, yeah, Jesus is Lord, praise the Lord. They can say it all they want. They're not violating the Scripture. What's happening is you cannot confess Jesus according to the biblical definition unless you mean it. You see, when somebody says, well, praise the Lord, and Jesus is Lord, see, you know, they're blaspheming. That is blasphemy. That is certainly taking the Lord's name in vain. But when the Christian says, or when someone says, Jesus is Lord, and they mean it, that is by the power of God. Number 5, God's love comforts us to know that we are his. His love comforts us. Verse 16, and we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I love this. We have known and we've believed. It's all past tense. We know it. Past tense. It's a done deal. What? What is? That God loves us. Isn't that fantastic? Every Christian can receive his comfort because God has set his love upon him in a very powerful way. John 15:9 says, as the Father, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide. That word is continue on. Live on in my love. Isn't that wonderful? His love comforts us. John, 2,000 years ago, John is saying, listen, we know, we've believed the love that God has for us. And you got to stop and ask yourself right now, do you know this? Do you believe this? That God loves you? Now we can say that, yeah, I know that. But somebody said something a long time ago. The precious lady in this church. Remind me, I was going to say something, but now I'm really on a rabbit trail now. I blew the whole night. We're not going to finish, so don't worry. This precious lady in this church one time took a bunch of fabric and shipped them off to all over, to Europe and Russia and all over the place. And she wanted to make me a blanket, just like a prayer blanket thing. And so she had these verses and whatever. I mean, she sent things off and people filled them out and they sent them back. And then she got them all together and sewed them together and made an awesome blanket. And it's great. From time to time, I'll pull it out and look at it. And one of the things in there that Pastor Chuck sent back on his piece of fabric was, no greater joy that I have than to see my children walk in truth, out of John's epistle. And it's just an awesome thing, because you cannot separate the love of God from the truth of God, because the truth is that God loves you. And one of the things that someone said there a long time ago was this, and it really hit me. They said, you know, if you're tired of hearing that God loves you, then think about this. God likes you a lot. And that hit me. He likes me? Because, you know, you grew up in a family and your mom says, love your brother. You've got to love him. And it's like, oh, brother. All right. I got to love him. He's my brother. What am I supposed to do? I have to. But when somebody says, you know what? I like you. Now that communicates something different to me. It means they want to hang out with me. It means they want to eat with me. It means I can relax with them. You know what? Because they like me. I can't do anything wrong. I can put my feet up even if they smell. I can, whatever, it doesn't matter. They like me. I like you. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I like you? I wish somebody would tell me that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. It's just rare, isn't it? Yeah, I like you. Because, you know, as Christians, we have to love each other. But man, I tell you, I think the fellowship that we enjoy one with another is based upon we really like one another. Do we all get along? No, that's the fun part about it. We love each other. That keeps that foundational thing glued together, but it's really cool to like one another. Very special.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John writes about divine love, or as he likes to put it, perfect love. The title of this lesson, What's Love Got to Do with It? What's Love Got to Do with It? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through the New Testament letter written by John, the Apostle of Love. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? I hope you have. We also have an app for your smartphone by that same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We just like to make things easy for you. Remember, it's free. Here on Real Radio, you've heard us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs that airs on his channel. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and you can get in your email inbox if you'd like. Our Wednesday Night Study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our Monday night TV program that deals with, well, real life issues from a biblical perspective, and a whole lot more. I'm peeking at mine right now on my smartphone. There it is, all at my fingertips. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.